Today's shiur is the Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the third word on the line, Yosef. Begins the Gemara. Yosef, Rab Oven, Rab Yitzchak Bar Rebbe, Kamed Rab Yirmiyah. Rab Oven and Rab Yitzchak Bar Rebbe were sitting in front of Rab Yirmiyah. Vekomenam Neim Rab Yirmiyah. And Rab Yirmiyah was dozing off. He was falling asleep. Yasvi v'kamri, so these two Talmidei Chachamim sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah said between themselves, Lebar Pada de Omar Padan Chayzrois v'kaitchois, according to Bar Pada that we learned in yesterday, Sugyat, in the case of our Mishnah, where he was Magdish plantings until the time of Ktitza, as we learned at the bottom of Dap Chof Ches Amir Aleph, the second last line, Hare Netiyos Elu Korban, Atshe Yiktzitzu, and we learned in the Mishnah at the top of Chof Ches Amir Beis that the halacha is Ein Lehem Pidgin, and Bar Pada explained that Ein Lehem Pidgin means that when he said that the Kedusha should be Chal until they are cut down, what he meant to say is that even if he's poda it before it gets cut down, it will immediately become Kedusha again. And when it says Einlem Pidgin, it does not mean that the Pidgin is not Chal, that he was not able to transfer the value. When we were speaking about, as we explained yesterday, Shir Kedusha's Damim, not Kedusha's Aguf, he's not able to transfer the value on the money. He is able to transfer the value on the money. What does it mean, Ein Lehem Pidgin? That he will never be in a situation where he doesn't have to be poda it until the time of Tzitza. If he's poda it once, he'll have to be poda it again. He's poda it a second time, it'll become Kaddish again, he'll have to be poda it a third time. That's what it means, Ein Lehem Pidgin. There's no solution of Pidgin until Tzitza. It is only after Ketzitza where there, if he will be poda it, then the Kedusha will go away from this item. But until the time of Ketzitza, it will keep rebounding. Now, it comes out from what Bar Pada said, that if Padan Chayzris V'Kaychis, that it becomes Kaddish again and you require a new pidgin until the time of Ketzitza, it comes out that how did it become Kaddish again? How did the Kedusha rebound? That was because he said it at the beginning. He said this should become Kaddish and it should remain Kaddish until the time of Ketzitza, and I am now being Magdishit over and over and over again until the time of Ketzitza in case I am pulled it each time it should become Kaddish. So now as we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, these two Talmidei Chacham said, Tifshit, from this halach of Bar Pada, the way he explained our Mishnah, we should be poshed, we should be able to clarify the boy, Rav Hoshea, the question that Rav Hoshea posed. Rav Hoshea posed the following question. If somebody gave two prutos to a penuya, a woman who was eligible to become married, and he said to her, with one of these prutos, you should become mikudeshes to me today. Uba'achas, and with one of the prutos, I want to make a kedushin, iskachuli, la'achash agarshicha, if in the future I will divorce you. Then the second pruta will make you mekudeshes to me immediately following the gerushin. So we can learn from Bar Pada, hanami dahave kedushi, that the future kedushin should take effect after the gerushin, based on what he said today. Where do I see that from? I see it from Bar Pada, because Bar Pada said that today I can affect a kedusha on this, on these plants up till the time of Ketzitza, that even if I'm pointed them, immediately the Kedusha will rebound. The same thing over here by the Kedusha of the woman, even if he's Megarisher in the future, the second Pruta affects a new Kedusha. Isar Behu, or as it says on the side in the Hagois Fetziyunim, Isar Lei Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was dozing off, but he was still awake when he was listening to them in his light sleep, and he heard it, and he awoke. Omar Lahu, he said to them, "My komedamisen padanhu lepadnacher." from the halacha that you wanted to learn from Bar Pada to be poshate, the shaila, the question that was posed by Rav Hoshea, I see that you do not distinguish between whether a person is poded himself or whether a person or whether someone else is poded. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with this, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Padon hu chayzres v'kdoishois, padu macherim ein chayzres v'kdoishois, that if you yourself are poided the item, let's say in the case of the plants, you were poided, then you can make it kadosh once again. And ein chanami, you can affect that kedusha right from the start, that in case I'm poided in the future, up till the time of the cutting, it will become automatically Kaddish again. But Padam Acherim, what happens if somebody else was poded these plans? And even as the run speaks out, I bought it back from that person who was poded the plans. Ein Chayzreis U'Kaddishais. They do not become Kaddish. Once it goes into somebody else's rishus, the fact that I originally said that the kedusha should keep coming back over and over again, that only works if I am the one who is poda. However, if somebody else is poda and it goes into somebody else's rishus and then I buy it back from him, do we say that the kedusha comes back on this item based on what I originally said at the beginning of the Hegdish? The answer Rabbi Yochanan says is no. And ve'isha kipadua cherim damye, and a woman is considered as if somebody else was poda her. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiya is saying to these two Talmidei Chachamim, you wanted to learn a halacha pertaining to kedushin of a person giving two prutos to a woman and saying one is for kedushin now and the other one is for kedushin if I should divorce you, then subsequently you will become a kudeshus again. And you wanted to learn that halacha out from the din of Bar Pada that the kedusha comes back each time he's podit. There's a major difference. Just like Rabbi Yochanan says in the case of plants, that it only works according to Bar Pada if he himself is podit. But if somebody else is podit, it goes into somebody else's rishus, then the first person's original kedusha, even if he buys it back from the second person, will not go into effect. And a woman, says Rabbi Yirmiya, is considered that it's rishus acherim. Now, there is here a run, which is one of the most famous runs in Shas, and it pertains to Kiddushin. It is learnt in all the yeshivas in Masechta Kiddushin, but the source of this run is not in Kiddushin, it's right here in the dorm on Daf Lamed. Because the run asks the following question: why, in fact, is a woman considered, in the case of Kiddushin, like a case of Padan Acherim? If you look at it from the man's viewpoint, Ein Echanami, when she gets divorced, she goes into her own rishus. She used to be in his rishus, now she's in her own rishus. But if we look at it from the vantage point of the woman herself as the run, then L'chaira, the kedushin that she was involved in, she is now the one who is being poided that kedusha through the get, she is no longer mekudish. And if I look at it just from the vantage point of the woman, then that's like a man who is mekadish something and is poled to it, that it becomes kaddish again. So why don't I say the same thing in the case of the woman? Why do I say that's compared to padan acherim l'chayra? If I look at it just from the vantage point of the woman, it should be like Padan, who, like he himself, was poided, that it becomes back kaddish. On this, the run gives the following teretz, and we will read the run inside. The run is in the wide lines, 8 lines from where it gets wide. V'nichali, says the run, the pshat that I believe to answer this question is,
The e motzi isha lekadosh atzmo leish hachanami. The hav yehi doyme the magdish natius mamish. If a woman had the ability to be makadosh herself, ain hachanami, then my question would be a very good question, that it would be exactly like someone who sanctifies the plants, and then he's poided, that the kedusha comes right back. And so to the woman, it's like a case of podahu, that by getting the get, she was magdish herself, and now she is released from that, that the kedusha would come back through the second pruta. Ella, why don't I say that? Why did Rabbi Yirmiyah feel that you cannot compare kedushin of a woman to the case of being magdish something? Elakivin shatayra amra ki yikach ish isha v'loy amra ki silokech isha leish. The Torah says when a man takes a woman, it does not say when a woman is taken by a man. What do I learn from that? Says the Ran, loy kol hemena shetachnas atzmo rishus habal. She is not able to bring herself into rishus habal. The Baal is the one who has to take her. It's not that the woman makes herself be taken. And that's why he brings down the Gemara and Kedushin of Hamid Beis. The E Amrahi, if she said, Hareinu Muresas Loch, not that the husband says it to the wife, but rather the wife says it to the husband, I am engaged to you, ein bedvareha mamish. It's meaningless, because she can't affect that. What does the woman do in the kedushin process? Elamikiv, unshehi maskemes l'kedusha ish. Once she agrees to the kedushin of the man, he mevatelas dat ratzayna. She is mevatel her will to him, Umashve nafsha, and here are the famous words of the Ran. Umashve nafsha, etzel abal kedavr shel hefker. She makes herself towards the husband as something that is ownerless. V'habal machnis l'rishusoy, and then the Baal brings her into his rishus. Hilkach ein anudanim b'kedushin mitzad isha el mitzad abal. That's why by kedushin we don't look at it from the vantage point of the woman, but rather we look at it from the vantage point of the husband. And since you're dealing with someone else, it's not just the husband himself. He has to take into account his wife. That's why it's considered like similar to the case where somebody else was poda ukedikasivna, as I wrote. So the Ran goes on to say that what Rabbi Yirmiyah was telling these two Talmidei Chachamim here is not that it's definitely different than the case of Bar Pada. On the one hand, since it involves on the man, you have to look at it on the man's side because it says ki kach ish isha. The man takes the wife. It's all considered from the man's viewpoint. The woman is mafker herself to the man. But so on the one hand, since there's a woman involved, it is like Pada Acherim. Once she gets a get and now is totally in her own rishus and has nothing to do with her husband. On the other hand, says the Ran, Rabbi Yirmiyah wasn't trying to tell the two Talmidei Chachamim that it's for sure like this, because after all, once the woman is mafka her das and her rutzen to her husband and allows him to take her, then she at the same time, at the beginning of the first kedushin, can do the same thing for the second kedushin. It's not totally comparable to a das acheres when someone else is poda and he then sells it back to the original owner. So it's somewhere in the middle. The Ran says that all Rabbi Yirmiyah is trying to say is that it's not totally poda acherim and it's not totally poda atzma. You can't bring a definitive proof from Bar Pada. You could look at it in two ways. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah was trying to say. Itmar Nami, continues the Gemara, Amar of Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yishan El Shepodin Hu. When do we say the halacha according to Bar Pada that the Kedusha bounces back, and every time he is poded, it becomes Kaddish once again? That's only if he is doing the pigeon. Aval Padu Acherim, but Padu Acherim, if others have redeemed it, and now it went into somebody else's rishus, and now it comes back if the original Mekadesh buys it back. There the halacha is, Ein Chayz Reis Rukadosh Reis. There, just because he said at the beginning that until I cut it down, the Kedusha should keep on rebounding after each pigeon, that only works if he did it, the pigeon himself. If somebody else did the pigeon, it does not become Chayzus and Kedoshes, and as we explained from the run, there is a question whether the same halacha will be applied to the case of a woman. Do we say that that's considered Paran Acherim, since Legabi the man, it involves a woman who is an Acher after the get is in place? Or do we, I say, that since she is Mevatl Herdas to the husband the first time, and she was ready to do it a second time, it's not considered totally like Pada Macherim, it is considered like Pada Atzmai, and therefore it would be Chal based on the second Pruta. And now we will offer a short Hagdama to the following Mishnayis. From here until the end of the Perek, the Mishnayis deal with someone who prohibited Hanoah from a group of people. And the question is, who is included in the group of people that he was referring to? The preeminent halacha in this situation is what is known as B'nedarim halach acher lash b'nei adam. When it comes to the Dorim, you have to see exactly what people talk and what they are referring to. As the Rambam in Hilchas Nedarim Perek Tes Halacha Aleph tells us, B'nedarim halach acher lash b'nei adam. Go after what people commonly refer to. Bo'isir makam in that place, bo'isir lashon in that language, that dialect, bo'isir zman, shenader oynishba boy, and at that time in history when that person was making the neder or the shua. Begins the Mishnah. Hanoider miyardei ayam. If someone made a neder that he will not have any hanoah from the seafarers, those who go down to the to travel on the oceans and seas, the halacha is he did not include people living on the dry land. Mutter b'yishrei abasha. He did not asr himself from those people who do not go on these trips on the oceans. What happens if he said miyishrei hayabasha? That he's prohibiting himself to have hanoah from those people who live on dry land. Asr miyardei ayam. The yardei ayam are included in yishrei hayabasha. Then he is asr to everyone. She yardei ayam b'chal yishrei hayabasha. Even those people who go down to the sea, but they come up from the sea. They spend time on dry land, and therefore he was not trying to be memayet to exclude those who go on trips on the boat. Rather, they are included in Yoshrei Abasha. He's usher to have enough from everyone. And now the Mishnah says a phrase which we're going to have a machloikis in the Gemara, whether this phrase is going on the Seifa that we just learned or it's going back on the Reisha. Loi ke'elu shahalchum akol yafo. When we refer to Yardei Ayam, we are not referring to those who make a short trip on the sea from Akko to Yafo. We are referring to someone who goes on a long trip, a long journey on the oceans. That's what we mean when we speak about Yardei Hayam. This begins the Gemara. Rapapav Rav Ada Bered Ravika, Chad Masni Aresha v'Chad Masni Aseifa. We had these two Amaroyim, Rapapa and Rabacha, the son of Ravika. One learnt the last phrase of the Mishnah that it's going back on the Resha, and one learnt the last phrase of the Mishnah that it's going on the second case on the Seifa. And now the Gemara is going to explain how you learn the last phrase based on both Pshat. Mandatoni Aresha Masnachi. The one who learns the last phrase that is referring back to the beginning of the Mishnah learns it as follows. And we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, somebody who prohibited himself in Hanoah from those people who travel on the water, Mutter B'yashrei Yabashrei. He is permitted to have Hanoah from those who live on the dry land. But we can be medayik, ha, b'yardei hayam aser. He is, in fact, prohibited to have Hanoah from those people who are seafarers. And now comes the last phrase of the Mishnah to modify that halacha, which people are considered yardei hayam. V'loi ke'elu, as we turn to the aflam and amid beis, ha'hol chami akol yafo. We don't mean that he prohibited himself from Hanoah, from those people who are seafarers on a short boat ride from Akko to Yafo. We're saying a kula, according to this pshat, the last phrase of the Mishnah is a kula. The halein, those who go from Akko to Yafo, yoshrei yabashininu. Such a short trip in no way makes them seafarers. They are considered as if they live all the time on dry land. Elamimi shadarkin lefarish. You know who's included in his iser that he's also to have Hanoah from the Yardei Ayam. That refers only to those who go on a long journeys. So that's what the Sefer is saying. Yardayayam. The Reisha, rather, is saying that Yardayayam does not include Yoshvei Yabasha. Yardayayam is Asur, but which Yardayayam? A Chumra, only those. A Kul is being said here, only those that go on a far distance, but those who go on a very short distance from Akar Yafo, from those he is permitted. Umanda Masnei Sefer, according to the Mandi Yomer, who learns the last phrase of the Mishnah that's going on the Sefer, Masnei Ochi, he will interpret the Mishnah as follows. If somebody prohibited himself to have a nor from those people who live on dry land, he's also prohibited from those people who go down who are seafarers, because they also live on dry land. And don't think, don't just think that this includes the Yardi Yam who go from Akar to Yafo alone. But those who go on longer trips, they will not be included in Yoshrei Yabasha. Ela Filu B'mi Shadarkei Lafarish. Even someone who usually goes on long trips on the oceans, he's also included in Yoshrei Yabasha. Why? Hoyel V'Soifel Yabasha Solik. Since at the end he comes up to the dry land, even after a long journey over the ocean, he will come out on dry land. He is included in Yoshrei Yabasha. And this last halacha, whether you learn it on the Reisha of the Mishnah, whether you learn it on the Seifa of the Mishnah, the Ran explains, everybody holds of this last halacha. The machloikis between the two pshatim is in the kula of Yardayayam, that it only includes, if I say it goes on the Seifa, it only includes, if I say it goes on the Reisha, it only includes those who go on long trips, but those who go on short trips are mutter. And if I learn that it goes on the Seifa, then we say that Yardei Hayam, everyone is included, whether it's a short distance or it's a long distance, they're included. And that's if it's Yoshvei Hayabasha, that includes everyone. And if he only said Yardei Hayam, then the second pshat, the one who says it's going on the Seifa, holds that Yardei Hayam includes, there is no kula. Ein Echanami Yardei Hayam does not include Yoshrei Yabasha, but Yardei Hayam includes L'chumra, both a long trip and a short trip. That is the nekuda of the machlokas between the two pshat and the way the Ran explains it. Now the Ran brings down a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. If someone says that after 30 days from now I want to prohibit myself in the Yardei Hayam, so let's say there were people that were not Yardei Hayam now, but they became Yardei Hayam later. Or the opposite, there were people who were Yardei Hayam now, but later they stopped being Yardei Hayam. So do I go after the time that he uttered the neder, or do I go after the time of the chalos neder, 30 days later? This is the machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. According to the Yerushalmi, we go at the time of the dibber, when he said it. According to the Bavli, the run at the top of our Amid brings a raya from the Pei Dalid, further in the Masechta, that it will go at the time of the chalos ha-neder. And it's interesting that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli, that it's dependent on the time of when he said the neder, and therefore, if he said Yardei Hayam, and the person at the time of the neder was not a Yardei Hayam, and he later became, according to the Psak of the Mechaber, based on the Yerushalmi, he would not be included in the Isser. And the opposite, if he was a Yardei Hayam at the time of the neder, and later stopped being a Yardei Hayam, he would be included in the neder. And the Ran also speaks out that when we say Yardei Hayam, it doesn't mean he did it one time, let's say from Akko to Yafo. It means many times, or that at the time when the neder was made, he was on the ocean between Akko and Yafo, so that would be considered a Yardei Hayam. But if he did it only one time, that would not yet make him into the category of a Yardei Hayam. Continues the next Mishnah. Somebody said, I'm prohibiting myself to have Hanoah from the simple pshat is those who see the sun.
Usher af pesumin, he's not allowed to have a noah, even from blind people, and the Gemara will explain, why should this be? Since a blind person cannot see the sun, why should he be included in this group? And the Mishnah says, shaloi nischavin zeh el misha chama royoi son. That this person, when he said royei hachama, he meant the ones who the sun see, and the sun sees even blind people, and therefore blind people are included. Who he wanted to be memayed, we will see in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, my time. Why, in fact, is the Summa included? He said, royei hachama, and the Summa cannot see the sun. Answers the Gemara, midaloi kamar min aroyin. He could have simply have said, I prohibit myself to have an awe from those who see, and that would exclude a Summa. Since he said, royei hachama, it means, though, as the Mishnah said, those who are seen by the sun. And who does this exclude? La'afuke dogim ve'obrim. This excludes fish and embryos that are not yet born, that the dogim are covered by the seas, the oceans, by the water. The obrim are in their mothers, and therefore the sun does not see them. And therefore, he did not exclude himself from having anoah from fish. Tosfos points out on the fourth line of Tosfos where it gets wide, and I'm learning from a Masifta Gemara. Tosfos says that we see from the fact that the Gemara excludes fish that Balei Chayim are a consideration. It's only a fish that's covered, that the fish under the water are not seen by the sun, but a Bal Chai, these Bal Chaim who are seen by the sun would be part of the Neder. When he said Royacham, he didn't just mean humans, he meant even animals. However, the Tosfos points out, he did not include Tvua or Peiros, even though they are seen by the sun, says the Rosh, because since he used a Lashon of Royacham, although we have interpreted it to mean that the sun sees those creatures, but since it could also be interpreted who sees the sun, therefore it excludes Tvua and Peiros because they don't have the capacity, and they never did have the capacity of seeing the sun, and therefore they are not included. So at the conclusion of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it comes out that Roya Chama includes humans, it includes animals, it includes Sumin, it does not include Tvua or Peiros, and it likewise does not include Dagim and Ubrim, who cannot be seen by the sun. Continues the next Mishnah, if somebody prohibited himself to have Hanoah from people with black heads, which means they are black with hair, he's prohibited to have Hanoah from people who are bald, Ubali Savis, or people who are old and have white hair. And why this is, we will see in the Gemara. He's permitted to have Hanoah from women and minors, she'ein nekron shchayri arosh, ela anoshim, it's only men who are referred to, beloshim b'nei adam, as having black heads because of their hair. Ask the Gemara, my time, why in fact is a bald person prohibited if the person only said, I am usher to have anoah from people with a black head, which l'chayri means that he has black hair, so why in fact is a bald person or somebody with white hair prohibited? The Gemara answers, midloi kamar mi bale seyar. Since he didn't say, I'm prohibiting myself from people who have hair, so that would be certainly exclusive of a bald person who has no hair. It would also not be including white hair, because normally seyar refers to black hair. So that would have excluded the bald people and the people with white hair. But since he used the Lashon of Shchayrei Arosh, what he means to say, that's an expression that's used to refer to males. It's referred to any male is considered a Shchayrei Arosh. And now the Gemara will wonder, why can't it refer to women as well? The Mishnah continued and said, Umutu b'nashim v'ktanim, she'ein nekorim Shchayrei Arosh, elo anashim only men, my time, Anoshim zimnin de mechisa rishayu v'zimnin de megala rishayu. Men, sometimes the hair is uncovered and sometimes it's uncovered. Avol noshim, but women lo'oilam mechisi.
they always have their hair covered. So memela, the lashon of shchayre roish, black head where you could see all their hair, would not apply to a woman. If you were referring to a woman, you would call them mechase roishay, that they cover their hairs. Or ketanim loyla migli. Ketanim always have their heads uncovered. So therefore, you would refer to them as migle roishay. Since he used the specific expression of shchayre roish, we must say he includes only men and not women or children. However, in the category of men will also go bald people and those who have white hair, because what he meant to say, according to the Lashon Bnei Adam, are males as opposed to females or children. Continues the next Mishnah, discussing the next group that he is prohibiting himself from. Hanoider min hayuloidim. If somebody said, I am prohibiting myself to have a noah from those people who were already born. Mutter b'noiladim, he's permitted to have a noah from people who in the future will be born, because b'pashtus yiladim means past and noladim means future. What happens if he said min hanoiladim, from those who will be born, usur min hayiladim? He is usur also in those who were born, because noiladim includes past and future. Yiladim is only past. However, Noladim is both, according to the Shita of the Chachamim of the Tanakhama. Rab Meir Mater Af B'Yoloidim. Rab Meir permits, not only, when he says Noladim, not only, it would seem the simple shot of Rab Meir, which Gemara is going to challenge, that not only does Noladim permit the future, but it also permits Yoloidim the past. That's the Af. And the Gemara wonders, if so, what's Rav Meir prohibiting? He's permitting those that are born in the past. He's permitting those that are born in the future. So what did the person mean when he said, I'm ushering myself from Hanor, from these people? Which people was he referring to? So the Gemara will explain Rav Meir in a different way. The Chachamim, they insist that if he said, Noiladim, he's usher from both the past and the future. What he meant to say is that I am prohibiting all people who are born, as opposed to people, to creatures that are not born, as the Gemara will explain, fish and birds, that they are not born, but rather fish are spawned and birds are hatched. They all come from eggs from their mothers, and therefore they are not called Noiladim or Yeloidim. They are excluded. But in the Lashon of Noiladim, according to the Chachamim, humans that are born from their mothers, both past and future, are included. Ask the Gemara, L'Rab Meir, V'loimi boy Noiladim. When Rab Meir said that in this Lashon of Noiladim, you know what is permitted? He's permitted to have a Noah even from the ones that were born already. What does the even mean? Does even mean not only the ones who will be born, but even the ones who were born? Ela miman aser. That doesn't make sense to say a pshat like that in Rav Meir, because if so, from whom did this person prohibit himself from? Answers the Gemara, chesuri machzuri v'achitani. There are words missing here in the Mishnah, and this is what it means to say, as Rav Hutner explains in the Pachad Yitzchak, that the chesuri machzuri is part of the ongoing Torah Shebal Peh, that although because of Eis Lasis Lashem the Mishnah was written and subsequently the Gemara was written, but there were always parts of the Mishnah that were not explained carefully, and it was necessary for future generations to come along and add things to make the Mishnah clear. This is all part that of the Torah Shebal Peh, that even though part of the Torah has to be written down, Mishnayis and Gemara, there's always more of the Torah Shebal Peh that has not been written down and that must be passed on orally from one generation to the other. And such a inyan is Chesuri Mechzuri V'Achitani. Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnah, wrote it in such a way that it was obvious that doesn't make sense. Something is missing here, and we have to interpret the Mishnah in the following way. And Rebbe did this on purpose so that the Mesorah of Rebbe L'Talmud through the oral Torah Shebal Peh would be kept. The Mishnah should have said the following. Hanoider min hayoladim mutar b'nei ladim. That's what it does say in the Mishnah. Someone who made a neder from the past, he's mutar in the children who are born in the future. If he says from the future, Asur v'yiladim, in the past, because noiladim, according to Chachamim, means both past and future. Rab Meir Omer. Rab Meir says, Af ha-noidim min ha-noiladim, mutter v'yiladim. Someone who makes a neder to prohibit himself from the ones who will be born in the future is mutter in the ones of the past. What does it mean, af? So now we are putting in the words of what the Mishnah really meant. Just like you told me a halacha at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if he made a neder from the past, he's mutter in the noiladim of the future. That's af. That's what I mean by af. I disagree with you, Chachamim, that noiladim means both past and future. But just like yiladim means only past and not future, so too noiladim, af, noiladim does not mean yiladim, does not mean the past. It only means the future. It does not mean both, like you, the Chachamim, say. Now the Gemara is going to explain the shita of Rab Meir. Amr le Rab Papa Labaya, said Rab Papa Labaya, concerning Rab Meir, le Meimer, should we say that according to Rab Meir, de noiladim, de misial, de mashma, that they were born in the future, and that's why they do not include yiladim of the past. I'll prove to you that noiladim also means the past. El miyato, when Yaakov spoke to Yosef, and he said to him, Shnei bonecha noiladim l'chob Eretz Mitzrayim, the two sons that were born to you in Eretz Mitzrayim, hachinami, are you going to tell me that that lashon noiladim is the Isyaldenu, that they're going to be born in the future? They were already born. Yosef was bringing Menashe and Ephraim, his children, to their grandfather Yaakov. So what did Yaakov mean, ha-noiladim? Yaakov must have meant in the past. Your two sons who were born to you in the past in Mitzrayim. So how could Rab Meir say that noiladim does not mean the past? It only means the future and we exclude the past. So then the Gemara asks back to Rab Papa, ve'ela mai di'aladim? Mashma, are you saying that noiladim means the past? Ela mi'atis, if that which is written in the Navi, Hine ben noilad l'beis David. And this is actually a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perik Yud Gimel, pasuk beis. It says over there, Hine ben noilad l'beis David, Yoshio Shemoi. A child was born to beis David. His name is Yoshio. You can't learn like that pshat. Hachinami dahave, he was already. Vadai Menashe loibor. His grandfather of Yoshio Menashe wasn't even born yet. How could you say that what we find there in Malachim refers to Yoshio, who was already born? Obviously, the word Noilad means he will be born. Elamai, from Yaakov with Yosef concerning Menashe Ephraim, we see that Noiladim means the past. From the case of Yoshio, we see that Noilad means the future. Ela mashmahachi umashmahachi. It means both. Say the chachamim umenedorim halach achol lashmin yadam. You have to go with the lashmin yadam that it means both. Explains the run that both Rab Meir and the chacham agree, as we've just proven that in the lashon of the Torah of Tanakh, that the word noiladim both means the past or it could mean the future. It can mean both. The machloikis between the chacham and Rab Meir is what is the lashmin yadam. According to Chachamim, the Lashon B'nei Adam follows what we find in the Torah, that it means both the past and the future. According to Rab Meir, Ein Echanami, the Lashon of the Torah is the past and the future, but the Lashon B'nei Adam of Noiladim is only the future, and it excludes, therefore, Yiladim. Just like Yiladim, the Lashon B'nei Adam includes only the past and not the future, so too Noiladim is only the future and not the past. In the Lashon B'nei Adam, according to Rab Meir, concludes the Gemara with the last words of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Chachamim Omrim, Loi Nischavin Zelam and Misha Darkali Volei. Noiladim means both the past and the future. So what did he mean with this Lashon of Noiladim? He meant only to exclude creatures that are not born from a mother as we know it. Lafuke might to exclude what? Lafuke Dagam Voifois, to exclude fish, where the mother spawned the eggs and then the fish come. Voifus and birds which are hatched from an egg, those are not considered a regular leida from the mother itself. And that's what he was saying. From those things, from fish and birds, I permit myself to have a no. But from other humans or animals that are born from a mother, through Leidah, that's what I am excluding myself. But whether it's the past or the future, according to Chachamim, that is included in the Lashon Bnei Adam. And on that, Rav Meir argues and says, no, that Noilada means only the future, and it excludes, even by humans and animals, the past.